Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. If you've been listening here on AM 1220 this afternoon, you heard me on with Pastor John Lutz, who is still here in the studio. I graciously allowed him to stay since he let me come in early today. But we've been talking about the results of the election this past Tuesday, and it was an exciting day, exciting evening seeing the results come in. And some people have said, but Pastor Al, aren't you disappointed? They lost the House. Well, yeah, but not by what they expected to lose it by, and they didn't lose the Senate. They gained seats. I've been telling people that for the Democrats, if they were going to win something, this is the least advantageous win that they could have, and for the Republicans, this is the least disadvantageous result that they can have. Had they lost the Senate and kept the House, it would have been much, much more difficult. For instance, the courts and things like that. That's all in the Senate there. But we'll talk about some of these things and more here and give you a chance to weigh in with some thoughts about the elections here and what it might bode for the future and possibly for 2020 presidential election. It's only 2 years away. You know, we're now in the next presidential election cycle. I mean, we really are. Yeah. And so you can join in the conversation here. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Our telephone number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you today as well. And just a reminder, I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. If you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find links to our church there, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Also, you can find us on facebook.com/livewithpastoral. There's a link at livewithpastoral.com as well to that. And just wanted to make note, Facebook Live is not working today. I don't know why.
I told you.
We're Zuckered again.
You got Zuckered.
We've been Zuckered again, I guess. But for whatever reason, it is not working. I can't get it. I've rebooted my computer. I've downloaded, made sure I had the correct version of Firefox. It said, got to have the most current version to broadcast.
And I've got the most. Zuckerberg's
that's
name.
What it
that
is.
Was all that was needed.
You know, what it is,
that's it.
What it is, Brother John, is that he's upset that he spent all that money trying to pass issue one in Ohio,
right.
And he lost.
That's right.
Big time.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about some of these things as well. And again, I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Just visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can find links to that. And we'll be continuing this conversation at our Bible study tonight. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Northern Summit County, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. We'll be there 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock tonight for our informal Friday night Bible study. And then we will be there Sunday morning for our Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock, Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock, and then Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. So hope to see you out there. And Brother John, you're here with us today. Where's your church located?
Well, we are up in Lakewood, which is west of Cleveland. I almost said east, just like you always do. But we're North Coast Baptist Church. We're located at 2051 Quail Street, which is in the southeast corner of Lakewood. They call it Bird Town. And we would love to have you come out and visit with us if you're up in our area. We'd love to have you come. By the way, we have three of our guys from our church come down to your Bible study every Friday. They love it. I was just with Aaron last night. They love it. They love coming on down here. They love the ride down, the fellowship they get to enjoy. It's worth the trip. So our guys would absolutely advocate to come on down and be a part of it.
Well, they come down, they ask all kinds of questions about
what you down.
Said.
No. Yeah, I send them down with, you know, they're kind of infiltrating. But hey, they love it.
No. I said that. We had a great time. But, you know, and I appreciate that you allow them to come down. I mean, it's just, you know, I appreciate that. We have a good time with them. The fellowship is good. And it's always good when you have a bunch of people there.
Sure.
And it's an informal setting. I mean, people bring the questions and we just go talk about it from the Bible. And of course, we have coffee and hot water for tea and just light refreshments, and it's just a very informal setting.
Which is why they really come down here.
I know it is. It's a refreshment, so that's right. But anyway, we're talking about the election results here, and I really am pleased with how things turned out. I think it bodes well for the future. I think it bodes well for the courts. We do have a caller we'll get to in just a moment here, and I wanted to mention something in regards to the courts in particular, because President Trump right now has, I believe, has had confirmed to the courts, the federal courts, 29 federal judges and 2 Supreme Court justices. Yeah. That puts him currently at a record more than any other president. Previous record holder was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was in office for 10 years, I believe, and he took 10 years to do what President Trump has accomplished in less than 2 years. I think God is working, because yeah. The courts are being shaped, taken from the progressive revisionist type courts that we have seen, that have given us Roe v. Wade, took prayer out of the public schools, took Bible reading out of the public schools, that gave us same-sex marriage. All these came, that nobody voted for these things except for 8 people in black robes.
That's
and
right.
They were revisionists for the most part. And now, for the first time since the 1930s, we now have a constitutionalist majority court. And certainly we pray for Justice Ginsburg, who fell and injured herself, broke 3 ribs. She's currently in the hospital under observation at 85. You know, the risk of pneumonia is very present. We wish her the best in terms of health and recovery. We really would like to see her get saved. What a yeah. tremendous testimony that would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, the idea that she's going to be on the court much longer, I mean, this could be an aggravating situation where she has to retire. President Trump might get a record 3rd nomination even before the year's out. So these court appointments, they're going to last 10, 20, 30 years after President Trump's out of office, influencing our country.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, this was one of the blessings that I think I've walked away from the election is, I think it was during a rally on Monday here in Cleveland at the IX Center. One of the candidates was talking about, we're going to get the next 30 through. And I guess they have 30 more ready to fill.
They have 10 that should be confirmed by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that'll bring it up to 39. So that'd bring another 20 in after the first
year.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the amazing thing to me is, how did these seats go so unfilled for all these years? That I think when President Trump took over, it was something like 100 seats.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how have these even been allowed to do that? But now I look at it and say, well, thank the Lord they weren't filled. Mm-hmm. And we're having the opportunity to do this. So obviously, while the House is excited, the Democrats are excited they got the House back. They're looking at going at – their one goal is to stop President Trump and expose everything about him. In the meantime – we have now a greater majority in the Senate. It's going mm-hmm. to be easier to get those judges through. And so while they're meddling, playing little kids ball over here, we're going to be in the big leagues, getting the courts filled the way they need to be, get them set up for longevity.
Right.
Again, we speak that understanding the Lord could come in any moment, but mm-hmm. preparing as if we're not going to be here
right.
and we're leaving it behind for our next kids. I feel great about the direction, and including, and you haven't mentioned her yet, but really one of the great opportunities, if President Trump does have an opportunity to nominate somebody, it'd probably be Amy Coney Barrett, if I remember her name correctly.
Yes, Amy Coney Barrett.
And somebody
staunch
said this,
conservative.
She's going to make Brett Kavanaugh look like a liberal.
Yes, she'll be one of the further to the right ones.
And yes.
Strong constitutionalist. In fact, you bring that up. It's interesting because Senator Dianne Feinstein, and I apologize to our caller. I'll get to him in just a moment. But I just wanted to mention this. Senator Dianne Feinstein, when Amy Coney Barrett was being confirmed as, I think it was on one of the federal appellate court positions, and she was implying that that she was too pro-life. Now, she's a Roman Catholic, a conservative Catholic, and very strongly pro-life as a result of that. And Senator Feinstein was basically implying that her strong religious views should disqualify her from the federal bench. Now, you know that'll come up if she's nominated for the Supreme Court. Yeah. But let me quote this. I'm just going to read this directly from the United States Constitution. Article 6 says, "No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States." What Senator Feinstein was doing was patently unconstitutional by implying that her religious beliefs would prevent her from serving in a federal bench.
Well, this goes back to that postmodernism argument we were talking about, because many of our legislators believe that as well, that, you know, you have to separate faith and government, and they're not allowed to intertwine. They're not allowed. And that goes back to the whole, you know, separate the idea of a separation of church and state. And we're going to strongly adhere against the establishment of any religion, but we're going to deny the free exercise thereof. And so it's you know, the parallel there is, again, we're reaping the consequences of a society that has said, God, we don't care about your word. We're going to create our own standard of what's right and what's wrong. And then we go out and vote for people that back up what that standard is rather than what God instructed us to do. And so it's going to be unusual, and in the way it moves forward, it's going to be interesting, is a better word, to see how this moves forward, you know.
Right. And I do think that in January, when the new people start coming into their positions and their offices and all, it is going to be interesting to see. Just a reminder, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. And I think we lost our caller. If you're listening and call back in, I can get you on here now. We had a couple things we wanted to mention here before we got to the callers. So if you're listening and want to call back in, we'll try and get you on here right away. But I did want to mention something they were talking about when you were asking about the courts and how these seats were unfilled. You know, this really goes back a ways, because remember when President George W. Bush was there, the Democrats were hindering his ability to appoint people. They kept dragging their feet. Yeah. And then they instituted this, they had this blue slip thing that they did where, you know, the senator from the state where the nominee was from could make an objection. It's almost like a personal veto.
Okay.
And then also they went from a simple majority to I think it was a 2/3 majority in order to be confirmed. And that's not anything that needs to be done. That's not mandated by the Constitution. And then, of course, when the Republicans controlled the Senate during President Obama's time in office, they kind of returned the favor. Well, Senator Mitch McConnell, one of the greatest things that he did that's unappreciated is actually two greatest things. He got rid of the blue slip thing. That took away an unnecessary hindrance, and he went back to a simple majority, and that's why President Trump has been able to fill these seats, just knocking them off left and right. And I think that was God in the past, you know, because Obama for 8 years has a lot of seats he could have filled.
Absolutely.
And was unable to. And I really do have confidence that President Trump is putting more stronger constitutionalists in the federal courts than President George W. Bush would have.
Do you think, and one of the things that I've seen is, I believe that, you know, I was on board with Trump when we talked about President Trump early on, but I think he's becoming more conservative.
Yes.
What do you think?
I agree with that. I think he's matured in office in a good sense where he has, you know, I think when he first went in, I read a book that dealt in depth in the campaign and interviewing people who are key in the campaign and all, and it was a secular book, not by somebody who's necessarily friendly to the Christian right.
Okay.
And He did bring out in the book that he honestly felt that President Trump was motivated by a sense of duty to the country. That's what brought him in, not all ego. And there's going to be some ego. You don't get to this level either as a CEO, billionaire, or as a politician at these levels without having a strong sense of ego. But under it all was a sense of duty. And he saw what was happening to this country, and that's what got him in. I think when he got into office and began to see the things that you're not going to see on the outside, there are things that only presidents and people high up in the government see, the things that are happening in the world and reality. And they can either choose to ignore it or they can choose to respond to it and hopefully respond in a positive way. And I think that as he has become aware of what's happening on the international scene, things that most people never know about, never understand because they're not in that position, I think it's caused him to do two things. One, to become a stronger conservative in his outlook and his dealings, and he has arguably been one of the most conservative presidents in his conduct that we've had. But also, I do believe that he became a born-again Christian during the campaign. Okay. There's, you know, people argue with that, but there's abundant evidence and testimony of respectable men of God that claim that he genuinely become born again during the campaign. So he is a young Christian, and seasoned Christians still say things they shouldn't say, do things they shouldn't do. But he's a young Christian, came to Christianity late in life. But I think that the overwhelming pressures and issues and things that he's facing has caused him to look to God a little more. Because remember when he was campaigning, somebody asked him the question, you know, have you ever asked God for forgiveness? And he made some kind of snidely remark of, well, I've never done anything that I need to ask forgiveness for.
Yeah.
And of course, some people, I think I even on my radio program at the time said, yo, what is this? It's kind of an arrogant thing. But he's changed. And that's what we should expect if somebody gets saved. There ought to be a change, shouldn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And those are some things, you know, again, I mean, we've talked about in the first segment this afternoon about some of the qualifications we're looking for in our governors, our legislators, and those who rule over us. And, you know, salvation, of course, the best candidate would be somebody who's saved, sold out for the Lord and living for the Lord. But the reality is they probably wouldn't get elected. Because
right.
True biblical Christianity is not really accepted by the world. But it doesn't mean somebody can't be saved and growing to that point and leading to that point. But regardless of that point, and it is important, obviously, you know, I definitely see, I believe he's coming out on a concern. He's asking the common sense question, which is what I think the mainstream conservatism is. It's based on common sense. You can't spend more than you make. You can't do this. A man is a man. He can't be a woman. A woman is a woman. She can't be a man. I mean, those are common sense things. And, you know, of course the world doesn't like that because they're trying to implement an agenda. And to me, with getting to see him a little bit more, and most of us were familiar with Donald Trump before he got elected, more as the entertainer and the billionaire.
Right.
But now we're getting to see him a lot closer, a lot more frequently. I mean, think about it. How many presidents go up and do a press conference, and there may have been some ulterior motives, but for an hour and a half, and in the middle of it say, are you guys bored yet? You know, if not, let me know when you're bored. Sincerely, you know, I'll answer as many questions as you want. For an hour and a half, he stood there and got berated and belittled, and he got to ask some sincere questions, and he took it.
Right.
I mean, even in the whole thing with Jim Acosta, that whole thing that happened, and I know we talked about it, I was watching it, he was doing everything he could not to get to this point. And Acosta just, he even said, I want to challenge you.
Yeah, not ask you a question. No,
I want to challenge you. So the whole thing was a setup from the beginning. But I was very impressed on how he responded. And he had every right to respond the way that he did. And, you know, people want to criticize how he behaves in those things. And I think he's, like you said, if he has become a Christian, praise God if that's the case. We know he'll grow if he's in the Word. But if I remember correctly, somebody did ask him at the press meeting about how important God was He said it's very important, very important. In fact, my vice president as well. Here, Mike Pence, he's here, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the impact of God in there. So maybe that's, and certainly we know that to be true because people become less conservative in their societal values mm-hmm. and morals when they get away from God.
Right.
They, you know, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imaginations mm-hmm. and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we know the rest of the story where it leads to farther away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've been very encouraged by that with the conservatism.
Oh, absolutely. And as we consider what this might mean for our country now, certainly Nancy Pelosi and many of the Democrats are out there. We're going to investigate this. We're going to impeach Trump. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And, you know, they're really limited. I said earlier, they had the least advantageous yeah. win that they could have because they have to work with the Republicans. They have to work with President Trump. They'll get absolutely nothing accomplished if they don't. And he even said that in the press conference.
Yeah.
They said, how are you going to get the Democrats to agree to these things? He said, I'll ask them. If they say yes, we'll have an agreement. If they say no, well, then, well, we won't. But
pretty simple.
But I mean, think about this. You know, we have, and I know we only got about less than 5 minutes to go,
yeah.
just so much happening this past week. Of course, Attorney General Jeff Sessions resigned, and his acting Attorney General right now, Whitaker, I can't think of his first name, his last name is Whitaker,
yeah.
and he has stepped in now, and of course, he's now the head of the Mueller probe because he's Mueller's boss now because Sessions had recused himself, leaving that to Rosenstein. But, you know, they've got this investigation that they've spent a year and a half, actually almost 2 years on, because they were starting this work before even the election took place. But they have got an official investigation. It's gone on for about over a year and a half. And they've got all of this that we spent millions and millions of taxpayer dollars on. Yeah. And Pelosi's saying, oh, we're going to investigate the Russia connection. Well, you know, here's President Trump and Acting Attorney General Whitaker, all they have to do is pull out Mueller's file. I would demand that Mueller produces his end result, you know, give him like a week or so,
yeah.
and say, after that, your funding's cut off. I want that report. And then put that report in a drawer, and then whenever Nancy Pelosi or any of the other people in the Democrats in the House, you know, want to file or an investigation, pull that out and say, here, we had an investigation. Your people spent millions and millions of American taxpayers' dollars to investigating your charges. Here's your investigation. Why are you tying up more time and money? And let the American people see what's going on. And they're going to have to come back to Earth, come back to reality. I mean, yeah. these people are so out there. They're in outer space, you know, right now.
Well, you know, even when she spoke after the election, you know, we talk about how they redefine words.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to her initial press conference, how many of the comments or statements that President Obama or President Trump uses that she used, talking about unity and talking about mm-hmm. drain the swamp. She used that in her, we're going to drain the swamp of this.
But it's her people.
Well, but that's the exact yeah. parallel of what happens. Well, we can interpret it, make it say what we want. We can redefine it, revisit it, and make it so the people believe what we're saying about it rather mm-hmm. than what the truth is.
Exactly.
And it's very dangerous. I mean, we got some very dang, we don't have time. We only got a couple minutes and I'm sure you want to finish some stuff up, but I mean, you look at some of the people who got elected,
yeah.
this young lady from New York, this Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
She's a radical. And it's New York. We shouldn't be surprised. I doubt she'll last another, I mean, she'll go her 2 years. I don't know that she'll go further, but it really depends on what happens in these next couple of years. So,
oh, absolutely. And we need to pray for our country. We're not out of the woods yet. And God has been at work, I believe, in our country. And I believe it's because Christians have been praying. Christians
yeah.
have been confessing the sins, not only their own individual sins, but also our nation's sins.
Right.
And we've seen a polarization. I'm not saying we're seeing revival in our country,
yeah.
but we are seeing some Christians wake up and get involved. And we need to continue that momentum
That's
over
right.
the next couple of years. You said earlier, we don't know when the Lord's coming back, but we need to act and conduct ourselves as if it's going to be another 100 years before he comes back,
right.
because We don't know. And now is not the time to sit back. Now is the time to roll up shirt sleeves and get busy.
Yeah.
Pray for our president. Pray for our elected leaders. Praise God for the victories that we've seen. We've seen the Republicans holding the House, the Senate nationally. We've seen the victories here in the state of Ohio, the governor and the state offices there. And it's a blessing. But it's all for nothing if we leave out the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what we want to keep ahead of or in front of us, is the freedom that we have right now to preach and proclaim the gospel, to do what we're doing right now.
Right.
And God's given us that freedom so that we can be a witness for Him. We're out of time. I want to thank you for listening. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.